Good morning. How's everybody this morning? All right, did you all receive a bulletin when you came in? Open it up and let's take a look at it. So this Tuesday evening, we have leadership team meeting at 5:45. This is a change in time. We will be meeting at Garden Valley, where Becky and I reside, for dinner. Dinner's at 5:45. So those of you that are part of the leadership team, what time do you need to be at Valley View? 5:45. So we're going to have dinner, and then we'll have our meeting in the formal dining room. So it'll be a great atmosphere. It'll be a great dinner. And so if you have any questions, if you are on the leadership team, come and ask me, and I'll be happy to try to answer those for you. Next Saturday at 8 a.m., men, we have men's breakfast, and we're going to be at Larry Patrick's house. There are details in the bulletin. If you have any questions about that, you can see me, you can see Brian, you can see Larry. We'll answer those questions for you. Saturday after men's breakfast, and for those of you who don't come to men's breakfast, at 11 a.m., we are going to have a celebration of life for Inus Merrill. Inus has gone home to be with the Lord. I don't know how many of you have got word about that. But there's going to be a celebration of life service. And then there's going to be a potluck dinner afterwards. And so there is details in the bulletin for you to be able to follow. If you have any questions, see me, see Diane, see Christy. We'll be happy to try to answer those questions for you. So today we're celebrating communion. That means we're going to be receiving an offering for our benevolent fund. Again, that is over and above your regular giving. And we will be participating at the close of our service in communion together. So many other announcements in the bulletin. So please make sure that you grab one on the way out. They're out there on the information table. Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yes.
It is nice to be back in Idaho, where it is much cooler than it was in Phoenix. And so if you want details about some of our trip, just ask Becky or I. We'll be able to tell her. In fact, let me just clue you in. If you have any questions about our trip, ask Becky about the baseball game. And she loves to tell people about the baseball game. So anyway, are you here to worship this morning?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Are you here to praise God?
Yes.
Are you ready to lift Jesus' name in praise?
Yes.
All right. Let's get to it.
All right. Would you stand on your feet with me this morning and join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. We're so thankful to have this opportunity to join together and worship. Lord, we ask that you would be glorified today. Lord, all the things that we have to do in life, nothing is more important than you. So Lord, we're here for you today. We love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a my trust
I'm gonna sing till my heart starts changing. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship, you still deserve it. You're worthy, oh, you're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I'm gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you've made is as good as done. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy, you're worthy, oh, you're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. Lift him up, come on. Oh, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. One more time, just your voices. You're worthy of it all. Let's lift him up today. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Give the Lord a round of applause today. He deserves our glory. Yes. Go ahead and be seated as we continue. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for today. Lord, thank you for showing up. We know that we can trust you to be more faithful than the rising sun. God, you are always enough. Even when we don't feel like you're enough, you are enough. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I could do to let you down. doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. Jaira, you are enough. Jaira, you are enough. I will be content in every circumstance. Jaira, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I don't want to forget how I feel right now. On the mountaintop, I can see so clear what it's all about. Stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't want to forget how I feel right now. Jaira, you are enough. Could imagine more than you ask, think, or imagine, according to His power working in us. It's more than enough, more than you ask, think, or imagine, according to His power working in us. It's more than enough, it's more than enough. More than enough. Oh, Jaira, you are enough. Jaira, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jaira, you are enough. Jaira, you are enough.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with He who died.
of faith. We sang through doubt and fear. In the end, we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. Yes, there will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with the who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb.
This morning we're gonna crack open the hymnal and we're gonna sing a song and remember Inus and remember that one day we all get to be in heaven and we get to see our Savior face to face, and what a day of rejoicing that will be. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and let's celebrate. Would you celebrate with me? Would you stand and celebrate with me? Next verse. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. Oh, and we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, and we all victory.
Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you.
Inus is with Jesus. I'm a little jealous. No, actually, I'm a lot jealous. You know, I met with Inus's daughter and son-in-law the other day, and we talked about some of our remembrances of Inus, and all of us talked about the fact that she was quite a character. We all know that, right? She had quite a sense of humor. She was a very nice lady. She was a warm and friendly lady. But Inus isn't with Jesus because she was a character. She's not with Jesus because she was a warm and friendly lady. She's with Jesus because she believed in Jesus as her Savior. And many, many times, Inus would say, "Pastor Sam, I'm ready to go home." And I know she wasn't talking about going to where she lived. She talked about going where Jesus was preparing a place for her. She believed in what Jesus did for her on the cross. Here's the question. Do you? Do you? Last week, if you weren't here, Robert gave a great sermon on explaining what it means to believe in Jesus for eternal life. It was wonderful. It was clear. It was precise. It was biblical. If you weren't here and you missed it, you need to go to our church website and you need to listen to it. We all need to hear what it is that Robert shared with us last week. Because if we don't have that clear, we ain't got nothing clear. You understand? If we don't have the issue of our eternal life in heaven with Jesus clear, we ain't got nothing clear. It's so important for us to be able to do that. I can stand in front of you today with assurance telling you that she's in heaven. She's with Jesus. Not because she came to Lake Hazel Bible Church. Not because she did anything other than believing in what Jesus did for her. Kids, come on down and we'll get you sent off to Children's Church. Look at these two handsome young men. Isn't that great? Father, we're just so grateful that we've had the opportunity this morning to be able to sing praises to you. And Father, I just pray that now we'll take the opportunity to listen to what it is that you have for us from your word. And Father, may we not just be hearers only, but may we be doers. Father, may every single one of us take a moment and look into our hearts, look into our minds, and evaluate. If we were to be closing our eyes in death on this side of eternity, would we be with Jesus? Or would we go to a place of eternal punishment because we chose not to believe? Father, I think we're all smart enough. We're all educated enough. We're all reasonable enough to be able to know the answer to that question. And Father, if there's any here this morning, whether they be children or whether they be adults, Father, I pray that they will put their belief in what Jesus has done on the cross for them so that they could be able to say someday, "Pastor Sam, I'm ready to go home to be with Jesus." Father, may that be something that we consider, something that we think about, something that runs through our minds and our hearts this morning, even as we listen to what it is you have in store for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 23. And I've kind of had this sermon in the back of my mind and kind of in my filing cabinet for quite some time, and I thought this morning would be a great time for me to be able to pull it out, and or this week to pull it out and to develop it, and then to be able to share with you this morning. So today I want us to see the cross of Jesus. Now you're going to say, wait a minute, I'm looking at the title and it says three crosses. That's right. So I want us to look not just at the cross of Jesus, but the two other crosses and the two men that were crucified with Jesus. Now the cross for a long time has been a symbol of Christianity. We see it in various images of the church, found in various books and implements used for worship. We see it in jewelry. And in fact, the cross has become quite the object of beauty. But it's not always been that way. The symbol of the cross has only been used as a symbol of Christianity only after the 4th century, when the horrors of the punishment of crucifixion had died off. For many people in the early church, and in the book of Acts, we've been talking about the early church. For many people in the early church, the cross was a horrible instrument of a torturous death. To witness one dying on a cross, which was done publicly, people died on a cross, not in private, was a terrible experience. Leaving someone scarred for life, never wanting to be reminded again of what they had witnessed. But here we are, over 2,000 years later, remembering what happened that day on a hill just outside the gates of Jerusalem, a hill called Calvary. That day, there were three crosses. Jesus was placed on the cross, and that cross was placed in the middle of the three crosses. Now, Jesus's cross is known as the cross of redemption. On one side was the cross of rejection, and on the other side was the cross of reception. The criminal who died on one side of Jesus's cross went to eternal punishment. The criminal on the other side of Jesus's cross went to paradise with him. Hopefully by now you've found Luke chapter 23 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read, starting in verse 32 and reading down through verse 43. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. Who's the him? Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. On December 6, 1829, two men, George Wilson and James Porter, robbed a United States mail carrier in Pennsylvania. Both men were subsequently captured and tried. On May 1, 1830, both men were found guilty of 6 indictments, which included robbery of the mail and putting the life of the mail carrier in jeopardy. On May 27th, both George Wilson and James Porter received their sentences, execution by hanging. The sentences were to be carried out on July 2nd, 1830. James Porter was executed on schedule. George Wilson was not. Shortly before the set date, several of Wilson's influential friends pleaded for mercy to the President of the United States, Andrew Jackson, on behalf of their friend. President Jackson issued a formal pardon. The charges resulting in the death sentence were completely dropped. Wilson would have to serve only a prison term of 20 years for other crimes. Incredibly, George Wilson refused the pardon. And there were those who wished to force the pardon on George Wilson. The case went before the Supreme Court. Chief Justice John Marshall wrote the following in the court's decision: "A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential, and delivery is not completed without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered. And if it be rejected, we have discovered no power in a court to force it on him." In other words, George Wilson committed crimes. He was tried and found guilty. He was sentenced to be executed. A presidential decree granted him a full pardon. But George Wilson chose to refuse that pardon. At a later time, the courts decided that the pardon could not be forced upon him. George Wilson chose to die. Many people today are refusing a pardon. It's a spiritual pardon. It's an eternal pardon. A pardon that would result in them spending eternity in the presence of God in a place known as heaven, rather than spending eternal separation from God in a place of eternal punishment. Have you accepted the pardon that Jesus paid for you as he went to the cross? Can you say, "I believe in what Jesus has done for me as he went to the cross. I believe in him as my Savior." On a fateful day, over 2,000 years ago, there were three crosses raised up on a little hill called Calvary. Now, you can read your Bible through and through. You can read the Gospels through and through. You're not going to find the word Calvary. But in some of the hymns that we sing about what Jesus has done for us on that cross, we sing about Calvary. So where did the name Calvary come from? It's a very good question. Calvary is the Latin name for the Greek word cranion, which means skull. It's the Greek word that we get our medical term cranium from. You know, you all have a cranium, right? Point to your cranium right here. Yeah, some of you are pointing down here. No, up here. Okay. The Aramaic name for the place where these three crosses stood is called Golgotha. You will find that name as you read the Gospels. It is interesting that sometime earlier, the disciples were arguing who would get to be on Jesus' left hand and who was going to be on his right. Yet that place was given to two criminals. And this was to fulfill a prophecy given to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12, we find this prophecy. "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." That word transgressors is the same word as sinners. Who is this prophecy talking about? Talking about Jesus. This prophecy was given 700 years before Jesus ever went to that hill called Golgotha. Now the crosses of these two criminals were placed on Golgotha to further humiliate Jesus by giving the impression that Jesus was a criminal among criminals. Now, in Matthew's account of what took place here at Golgotha, these two criminals were called robbers. A robber in the Greek meant more than a thief who would break in under the cover of darkness, hoping to take without being seen. Because sometimes robbers used violence and robbed in broad daylight. And Jesus was placed between these violent criminals. Yet the prophecy from Isaiah told us about Jesus' character. It says, "And made intercession for the sinners, for the transgressors. Although Jesus was hanging on the cross in shame and suffering, it was in his character to what? Make intercession, to pray for those who had put him on that cross. In fact, did you see what it said in verse 34 of Luke chapter 23? It said, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then it went on to say, and they cast lots to divide his garments. They didn't even care that this one that they had placed in the center of these two robbers, these two violent criminals, had prayed for them from that cross that they placed in the middle and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't even care. What did they do? They went about their own business by what? Dividing Jesus' garments among them. You know, not only does Jesus ask for forgiveness for those who are crucifying him, later he gives a pardon to one of the criminals crucified with him. So I want us to look at these three crosses in a little greater detail this morning to prepare our hearts for communion. And we're going to look at these three crosses and we're going to see three different circumstances. The first cross I want us to look at is the cross of rejection. In verse 39 here in Luke, it said, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at Jesus, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and save us. One of the criminals was hurting, and he knew that death was coming quickly. And in spite of that awareness, he was completely what? Self-absorbed in his own issues. He wasn't looking at where he was going to go when death came. What was going to happen at the moment that he closed his eyes in death as he hung on that cross? He was more self-absorbed in his own issues. And interestingly, he was repeating exactly what Jesus' accusers were saying. If you are who you say you are, then save yourself. And then he included, save us too. And yet, this criminal completely and with full knowledge of who Jesus said he was, rejected Jesus and identified himself with the very people who were putting Jesus to death. This is what the world is doing every day. As the world is going through the motions of killing themselves and others, they are rejecting the only one who could bring to them God's redemption from their sin. The other gospels record that both criminals were saying the same things that the Jewish religious leaders were saying. At some point, despite the pain, the humiliation, and all the verbal abuse, one of the criminals began to see how Jesus maintained his dignity, refused to lower himself to answer the accusations. He begins to realize, perhaps for the first time in his miserable, sin-filled life, that he stood justly condemned. There was no hope of salvation except by Jesus. This criminal was on the cross of reception. And this criminal brings a heartfelt request to Jesus. Did you see that in verses 40 through 42? But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This criminal has a transformation of his heart. There is the recognition that God's Son was to be reverenced. Condemnation under God was something to be feared, more so than the condemnation of men. And we have a world today that would rather thumb their noses at God rather than give him the reverence that he deserves. Why? Jesus told us why. And John records it. It's recorded in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus said, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. Have you ever talked to somebody about what Jesus had done for them on the cross? What Jesus had done for you on the cross? And made it as clear as what Robert shared with us last week? And they looked at you and said, I understand what you're saying, but I can't believe it. I understand what you're saying, but I can't accept it. Because if I do that, then I have to give up all of the things in my life that I enjoy. I'm going to lose some things that I really love doing, and I don't want to do that. The cost would be, for me to believe, the cost would be too great. I know, because for years I battled that attitude with my very own father. When I would talk to him about believing in what Jesus has done for him on the cross, believing in Jesus as his Savior, he would say to me, but I have to give up so much in order to do that. And I would say, Dad, it's not about giving up anything. It's about what you gain because you come to the place of believing that Jesus died on that cross for you. And for years, he fought against allowing himself to believe in Jesus as Savior. But thankfully, before he died, he came to the place of believing in Jesus as Savior, believing that Jesus went to the cross to pay the debt of sin that he owed, because he finally came to realize that he could never pay that debt himself. And he finally came to realize that it wasn't about what he gave up, it was about what he gained. And he gained heaven. There were times he would tell me, in all honesty, he would say, I know that you're going to be in heaven. I know that your brother's going to be in heaven. I know that your mother's in heaven. I know that your grandmas are in heaven. And I know I'm not going to heaven, and I don't care. There came a point in his life to where he cared. And it brought him to the place of believing that Jesus died on the cross to be his Savior. And just like I can stand here this morning and tell you that I know with assurance that Inus is with Jesus, I can tell you that my father is in that very same place, because he believed in Jesus as Savior. And I know someday I'm going to see Inus again. And if you're here this morning and you have come to believe in Jesus as Savior, you're going to see Inus again as well. And I know someday I'm going to see my father and my mother and my grandmothers again. And they're not there because they were good people. They're there because they believed in Jesus as Savior. They believed in him for eternal life. The light, capital L, shined on this man. His sin was exposed, and he had come into conviction. And he rebukes his friend, and he defends Jesus. And then in a show of belief, in a show of faith, he realized that Jesus was dying so that he could have a Savior, ignoring the influence of his friend and the ridicule of the crowd. And now, hanging on the cross, in what would be his last breath, this criminal asked Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. All this criminal, all this man on the cross of reception had to do was to believe in Jesus for eternal life. And again, let me just remind you how clear Robert made this last week. Not only is there a cross of rejection, and not only is there a cross of reception, as we get closer to the time of us participating together this morning in communion, let's look at the cross of redemption. The cross of redemption is the cross on which Jesus died. You see, the cross, either one of those crosses that those two other criminals died on, could not be the cross of redemption, because they didn't qualify to be the Savior. They didn't qualify to be the one to bring redemption to sinful mankind. Only Jesus could, because he was without sin. So the cross that Jesus died upon is the cross of redemption. The religious leaders mocked Jesus with, why don't you save yourself? It is because Jesus did not save himself that the receiving criminal found God's redemption from sin. And it's because Jesus didn't save himself that he could save you and I. as we believe in him as Savior. Look at what he said in verse 43 to this criminal. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus, who was shown no mercy himself, is now showing mercy to the criminal being crucified next to him. You know, it's interesting that Jesus was crucified between these two criminals, for this gave both of them equal access to the Savior. Both had equal access to the pardon that was freely given. Today, there's a world that has full access to what it is that Jesus has given to them. Because not only did Jesus die for your sins, not only did he die for my sins, he died for the sins of the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of just a few? No, of the whole world. But yet, what do? They reject. What do? They ignore. What do? They neglect. Even though they have equal access to the pardon that was freely given. Both could observe Jesus in his grace and mercy as he gave his life for the sins of the world. Here at this hill called Calvary, one person accepts the full pardon for sins that was available and goes and spends eternity with Jesus, the Savior. The other rejects the pardon and, according to God's word, spends eternity apart from Jesus in eternal punishment. And we find this still happening today. Some reject and never believe in Jesus as Savior, but yet some believe and come to believe in Jesus as Savior. As we've been studying the book of Acts, our focus has been on the mission, and I appreciate Robert last week reminding you of the mission that God has given. He gave it to the disciples as he was getting ready to ascend into heaven, and he gives it to us as his disciples yet today. And what's that mission? To tell others about what it is that Jesus has done for us on the cross of redemption. Now, communion is the reminder given to us by Jesus that he died at Calvary. We are to remember that his body was broken and his blood was shed to pay the debt that God required for the price of sin. Today, as we participate in communion, we have opportunity to look into the face of the one who was willing to die for our sins at Calvary. We need to ignore our plain and simple sanctuary. We need to ignore the hectic week or the cares of our lives and look into the eyes of the Savior, who is willing to sacrifice his own life to save us from sin on his cross of redemption. We reflect. We remember. So this morning, as you hold the elements in your hand, let's be reminded. Let's remember. I'm going to ask the men to come and to join me at the table. Let me just remind you, as the men are gathering at the table, that you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church to participate with us together in communion. You just have to believe in Jesus as Savior.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange
the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Let us remember Jesus.
In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And to the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you stand with me for this last song?
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial.